B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Chof Aleph. We're going to start six lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, Omar of Yehuda Omar Rav, B'shor she Yisrael oilim l'regel, we're continuing what we've learned previously, the masses of people that came to the Beis HaMikdash of Yomim Tovim. So Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav that when Klal Yisrael would come to the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Tov, oimdim tzfufim, there would be so many people that whilst they were standing upright, they were tzfufim, they were very, very cramped. And Rashi says not only were they cramped, but tzfufim is from the term of floating. There were people whose feet were raised off the ground from the masses of people that were there. And nonetheless, mishtachavim or ravachim, when they would have to bow down, then they would bow down and there would be plenty space. They would bow down typically when a person would say vidui, and in order that people shouldn't hear each other's vidui, there would be a 4 amma space between one person and the next. V'nimshachim, and there were so many people, in relatively little space that they would, the overflow of people, even though normally Klal Yisrael would only be present in the 11 amas at the beginning of the Azara, which is called the Ezras Yisrael, but nonetheless, on Yomim Tovim, they would, the overflow would go all the way around, Nimshachin Achas Esre Amo Achere Beis HaKapores, that they would, the people would go all the way around the building in the middle of the Azara. There was the building where there was an Ulam, the Heichal, and the Kodesh Kodoshim. Behind, around the sides of this building of the Heichal, which the outermost corners of that building, the edges of the Ulam, there was the Beis HaKhalifos, and the people would go round, the overflow would go all the way round the building of the Ulam and the Heichal, to behind, including the 11 Amos behind the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Asks the Gemara, my Komar, you just said now that Umishtach v'murvachim, and they will bow down, then there would be plenty space, they would each have 4 Amos around them. Why then did they have to spread out and go right round the Heichal if there was so much space? Answers the Gemara, Hochi Komar, Afal Pishanim Shochim, Achas Se'ama, Chere Beisak Kapires, Voim Dim Tzfufim, Kashay Mishtachvim, Mishtachvim Vervochim. Which means as follows. It doesn't, even though the order of what Rav said was that Mishtachvim Vervochim, when they bent down, there was plenty space, and then Rav said that they would, the overflow of people would go right round the Heichal, but that doesn't mean that they needed to go right round when they were bowing down, because there was plenty space. Rather, that even though when they were standing upright, there was naturally, there was no space for the people, and when they were standing upright, they would have to, the overflow would spill right round the Heichal. Nonetheless, when they would bow down, then there would be plenty space, then, because the place that would, the appropriate place for them to bow down was on the Mizrach of the Mizbeach, then all those people that were cramped into the, all the way round the Azara and around the Heichal, means around the inside of the Azara, surrounding the Heichal, all those people, when it came to bowing down, they would all come to the Mizrach of the Mizbeach, and there they would all find and have space. It was a miracle. They would have space to be mishtachavim uravochim. V'zeh echod me'asara nisim shena'asu b'mikdosh. This was one of the 10 nisim that were present in the Beis HaMikdosh. Titnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Meseches Avos in Perakei, asara nisim na'asu la b'Beis HaMikdosh. 10 miracles, 10 nisim happened in the Beis HaMikdosh. And before we see what they are, this seems to be a heading, a title, that there were 10 nisim there. And now Gemara is now going to continue with 18 different nisim. And somehow they all have to go under the title of 10 nisim. We have to see how 18 nisim are going to become 10 nisim. But there's an initial list in the Mishnah, but we're going to see that it's the 10 nisim mentioned in the Mishnah are not actually the 10 which were the Mishnah referred to in the opening statement, Asara Nisim Nasu Beveis HaMikdosh. But let's work through it slowly. Number one, Lo Hipilo Isha Mireach Besar HaKdosh. That even though it's common that, or it can happen that when a pregnant woman smells the meat, that it could cause her to miscarry, it never happened that a woman miscarried due to the smell of the of the cooking and the roasting of the meat in the Beis HaMikdash. Number two, v'lo yisriach basar hekdush me'olam. The meat, the flesh of the korbanos, never got spoilt. V'lo yinireh zvuv b'beis hamitbochaim. Number three, that there would never be a fly in the butcher, in the place where they were dealing with the meat. Normally flies would get attracted to a butcher's in the Beis HaMikdash. That never happened. Number four, v'lo yirah keri l'kohen gadol b'yom kippurim. In spite of the tremendous kedusha of the kohen gadol on the holiest day of the year on Yom Kippur, nonetheless, that he would never become tomei tumas keri. Number five, v'lo nimtzo p'tzul b'omer. In the korban omer, there would never be a psul, nothing would ever go wrong with it. And Rashi explains that the korban omer was one of those korbanos that if it did become psul, was particularly difficult, stroke impossible to replace, because they were used to cutting the korban omer the night before on Motzi Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkos, and if it would become psul in the day, they wouldn't have any more stalks and any more wheat to replace the barley. Actually, they would have no more barley to replace the omer with. Ubishtei alechem, so too, this is number six, that no psul ever happened to the shtei alechem. That was the two breads that were brought or that were offered with the korbanos on Shavuos, and they were baked on Erev Yom Tov. If a psul would happen to them on Yom Tov, they would not be able to bake new ones. Number seven, ubelechem aponim, that no psul was ever found with the lechem aponim. Here again, the lechem aponim was always baked on Erev Shabbos. If a psul would happen, then there would be no lechem aponim on the shulchan for the whole week until they would put new breads the following Erev Shabbos. Number eight, oimdim tzfufim umishtachavim urvachim, even though that whilst they were in a standing position, there was not enough space, and people were very, very cramped, and as we said before, they were even, so to speak, floating with lack of space. Nonetheless, umeshtachvim revochim, when they would bow down, there would be ample space. Number nine, v'lo hizik nochosh v'akrov b'Yerushalayim. Here we're suddenly moving to Yerushalayim, even though the content of this Mishnah is about the Beis HaMikdash, we're moving to Yerushalayim now, something the Gemara is going to discuss in a moment. But v'lo hizik nochosh v'akrov, a snake or scorpion never hurt anyone in Yerushalayim, me'olam. And number ten, v'lo omar odom l'chaveiro, a person never said to his friend, tzarli hamokim, that it's cramped here in... The space is cramped, I can't find food, I can't find a place to dwell, a place to sleep in Yerushalayim. She'olin b'Yerushalayim, that I should stay over in Yerushalayim. Again, we're talking, this one, number 10, is referring to Yerushalayim. It was indeed a miracle that nobody ever complained about the lack of space. And that was miracle number 10 mentioned in the Mishnah. And that's the 10 in the Mishnah. And we're going to soon see that of these 10, quite a number of them are actually not part of the 10, and they're going to be replaced by others. Says the Gemara, Posach b'Migdosh u'Masayim b'Yerushalayim. The Mishnah started with telling us there's 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdosh, but the last two were actually miracles in Yerushalayim, not miracles in the Beis HaMikdosh. Says the Gemara, you're right, Ikatarte achrinisa b'Migdosh, but there were another two miracles in the Beis HaMikdosh. The Tanya, we learnt in the Braisa, and this is Nes number 11, it's the 11th miracle going to be mentioned, but it's going to replace number 9 and number 10. We're going to have here number 11 and 12, which are going to make up the 10 of the Mishnah. Me'olam lo kobu geshomim eish el atzei marocha. Miracle number 11 is that the rain never extinguished the fire on top of the Mizbeach. And number 12, v'oshon hamarocha, the smoke that rose up from the fire on the Mizbeach, even all the winds in the world that would come, boys would come and blow. That the pillar of smoke would not budge from its place in spite of the winds. So these are another two miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash, and now we have 10 miracles in the Beis HaMikdash, even though only 8 of them are mentioned in the Mishnah. These are another two. Asks the Gemara of Asu Leka, there's no other Nisim. Vatoni Rabbi Shemaya b'Kalambia, Rabbi Shemaya from a place of Kalambo, said as follows. This is miracle number 13. Shivrei Klicheres Nivloin b'Mekoimon. That any earthenware kelim that they would cook in it, kolchei kolchim, they would cook in it from the korbonis, and the blios, the taste that would be absorbed in the walls of the kli after the time that particular korban is allowed to be eaten, would then become noisar as the korban becomes noisar. And you cannot kasher an earthenware kli, so they would have to break the earthenware kli. And there would be such a tremendous amount of these earthenware kelim that there would be heaps and heaps of earthenware kelim scattered around the Beis HaMikdash. So there was a miracle that when they would break these earthenware kelim, they would just become absorbed in their place. They would get swallowed up where they were broken. V'omar Abaya. Abaya says there was another nest number 14, that Mayra'a, the crop, the bird's crop, where it stores its food, V'noitza and its feathers, V'dishan mizbeach apnimi, and the ashes of the inside mizbeach, V'dishan ha-menoira, and the ashes of the menoira, and these are all included in one miracle. Nivloin b'mekoimon, they were thrown onto the mizrach side of the mizbeach, next to the mizbeach, the same place where the truma, where the separation, that little bit of ashes that was separated every morning from the top of the mizbeach, was put next to the mizbeach. In that same place, all these things, the meira, noitza, dishon mizbeach apnimi, and dishon amenoira, would all get absorbed and swallowed up into the ground in its place. Now, Abaya says that was nest number 14. Whether the ashes of the mizbeach, the trumas ha-mizbeach, also got swallowed up, something Abaya didn't mention, is a discussion here in Tosfos. So either way, you said in the Mishnah that you have 10 nisim. You told us 10, we took 2 away because they were in Yerushalayim. You added on another 2, number 11 and 12, but now I've got 13, 14, so we have another 2 nisim. Answers the Gemara, Psule, nest number 5, 6, and 7 mentioned in the Mishnah, which was those three are three psulim that never happened to the different minchos, different bread offerings in the Beis HaMikdash. They don't count them as three, count them just as one. So apik trei, so those three became one. So now apik trei, v'ayil trei, once you've removed, subtracted 2 from the list, you have space for another 2, which are the 2 that Abaya mentioned, 13 and 14. Ihochi, if you're going to say that all the psulim of the mincha are considered as one, bluim nami treihava, then the 2 that we mentioned here, one of Rav Shemaya Mikalanboy, that the Shivrei Kli Cheres, that was number 13, and number 14 should also be considered as one. Bluin nami treihava choshvinu bechad, because Abaya spoke about the 4 things that got absorbed into the ground, and Reb Shemaya said it was the broken parts, the shards of the earthenware kelim that got swallowed up. Since they all got swallowed up into the floor, into the ground of the Azara, it should be considered as a single ness. And then chasuluhu, and you're missing one of the 10 in the Beis HaMikdash. Answers the Gemara, Ikanam Yachriti. There's another miracle that could become number 10. Domer Yeshua ben Levi. Yeshua ben Levi mentioned the 15th Ness, which would become number 10 in the list of 10 in the Beis HaMikdash. What was that? Ness God lohoyonasa belechem aponim. That regarding the lechem aponim, besides for the Ness we mentioned before, that it never became possible, there was another Ness. The Silukoi Kusiduroi. When they would remove the lechem aponim on Shabbos, it would be as warm as it was when it was put in the previous Shabbos. These breads were a whole week on the Shulchan in the Heichal, and nonetheless they stayed warm as when they were put in. Shnemer, it says in the Pasuk, Losum lechem choim b'yoim hilok choy. And from there we see that when they would remove the bread, it was as hot and as fresh as when it was originally placed on the Shulchan. So that's nest number 15 mentioned here, that became nest number 10 in the list of the Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash. Asks the Gemara, Vasu Lecha, there's no more Nisim in the Beis HaMikdash? V'homer of Levi, Reb Levi told us another Ness. Dovozem Maseiros B'yodeinu Me'avoseinu, this is nest number 16 mentioned here, that we have a tradition from our elders, that Mokim Oroin, the space that the Oroin took up didn't take up any space. If you would work out the measurements of the Oroin, and Rashi brings here that from a Braisa, the Oroin that Moshe Rabbeinu made had 10 amos of space on either side of it. And when you would put the oroin with the kapiras on top of it and the kruvim, and you'd put it there, then they should be taking up some space. And even though the oroin was placed in the middle, then there was still the same amount of space left, airspace left in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. So you see from there that the space of the oroin itself didn't take up any space. That was a tremendous ness. V'omar Ibn Noyam HaShmuel mentioned another ness, Kruvim b'nes hoyu oimdim. This is referring to the Kruvim from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were standing next to the Orin on the Tzofim side, one on the Tzofim and one on the Dorim, and their wings were spread out from one wall to the next. And if you work out the measurements mentioned in the Psukim, there was no space for the Kruvim themselves. And so that's what Ravinoi said in the name of Shmuel, that those Kruvim, they were standing, it was a miracle. We can't work out in physical terms where they were standing and how they were standing. So we see here nest number 16 and 17 in the Beis HaMikdash, and even though the first 15 somehow became 10, two of them were in Yerushalayim, two of them are just an extra, three of them are the Bluim, those that got absorbed, but now we're left with an extra two. Answers the Gemara, Nisei Debroi Kochoshiv. Only those Nisim that were outside, those that were in the Heichal and beyond, outside it, those are mentioned, those are the 10. Nisei Degavoi, but those Nisim inside the Kodesh Kodoshim, Loi Kochoshiv, they are not mentioned. They could not be seen by everybody, it was not necessarily common knowledge, and therefore they are not mentioned. Ihochi. If so, that you're only mentioning in the list those things which are clearly seen outside, lechem aponim nami nisede gavoyuhu. The lechem aponim was always on the shulchan. The shulchan was inside the heichal, and in the heichal, that could not everybody could see what was in the heichal. You weren't allowed to. Klal Yisrael were not allowed to go into the heichal, and therefore, why is that mentioned? And we're not talking here about the fact that the lechem aponim never became possible, because we said that was in any case considered a single ness together with the Oimer and the Shtei Lechem. But the ness number 15 that we saw in the Gemara, that the Rabbi Shua ben Levi said that the Lechem upon him stayed fresh, that's one of the 10. And that was inside the Heichal. Why is that mentioned? Answers the Gemara, Lechem Aponim Nisse de Baroyuhu. You're right that the whole week the Lechem Aponim were inside the Heichal and people couldn't see it, and therefore it should not be part of the list. However, the Lechem Aponim are considered a miracle that was in the open, that was outside, people could see it. Why? Da'omer of Shlokish. Because Rishlokish said, Maidach Siv, it says in the Pasuk, V'sam ta'oisom, you should place the breads, Shtayim Marochis, two piles of breads, Sheish Hamareches, six breads on each pile, al hashulchan hatoir, on the shulchan, on the table that was toir, lifnei Hashem. Why do you have to tell us that the shulchan was toir? Toir michlal shu tomei. If you tell us that the shulchan had to be toir and was toir, it must be that theoretically it could become tomei. Because otherwise the term toir only applies if it's in the absence of tumah. Something that cannot become Tomei will never be termed as Tohir. And so the Gemara explains that Kli 8, any wooden Kli, Ha'osui le'nachas, which it's, when it was made not to be moved. Hu, v'chol Kli 8 ha'osui le'nachas, eine mekabel tuma. We learn this out from the Pasuk that compares wooden Kelim to Kelim of Sak, and Sak Kelim are only ever used when they are moved full, they're moved empty, and so therefore wooden kelim can only become tomei if they are moved, typically moved, when they're empty or when they're full. But these kelim, which are never, they are also lenachas, they're never going to be moved, they cannot become tomei. V'chotzes b'fnei tuma, not only they cannot become tomei, but if they are standing in a place, they can actually make a separation between the tumah and other tahor things, preventing the tumah from penetrating and being metameh the tahor things. So how could the shulchan be called tahor, which would mean it could become tomei? How can it become tomei? The shulchan was a wooden kli, And since it's a wooden kli, it can only become tome if it's there to be moved. The shulchan was never moved. It was there to stay in its position. So why is it called tohir? Elo says the Gemara Melame, this teaches us, Shemagbihin oisoy le'oyle regolim on yomim toivim. They would lift up the shulchan with the breads on top. Vo'emim lehem, and they would show it to everybody. And this is what we're referring to, that they would show the shulchan with the breads to all the people who are outside the heichal. Would show them and say, "Ru'u chibaschem lifnei amokim. Look how much Hashem loves you. Shesilukei kesidurei. Look at these breads. They've been sitting on this shulchan a whole week, and they're still fresh and warm as they were when they came out of the oven a week earlier." Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk we mentioned before, "Losum lechem choim b'yoyim hilokchoi," that the breads stayed warm when they were taken, till they were taken off a week later, as they were when they were put on. So you see from here that even though the shulchan is inside the heichal, however, these breads, the lechem aponim, on yomim tovim, was actually raised, was lifted up, and there's a discussion elsewhere exactly how they showed it to Klal Yisrael, and when they showed it to Klal Yisrael, it's not the sugya here, but it was actually shown to Klal Yisrael, it was moved. And therefore, since Klal Yisrael would see the lechem upon him, it's considered a nes of the outside, and therefore could be considered one of the 10 nisim of the Beis HaMikdosh. Asks the Gemara, v'su leka, there's no more nisim? We've had 17 so far, of which somehow, as we saw, the 17 were narrowed down to, they could be numbered as 10. 10 inside the Beis HaMikdosh. V'omer Boishir, Boishir said there's an 18th nes, there's another nes, which would become number 11, on the list of 10. B'shor shebono Shlema Beis HaMikdosh. When Shlema Melech built the Beis HaMikdosh, not a boy, he planted in it, kol minei megodim, all sorts of fine fruits, shel zohov. It was an amazing miracle. He planted golden fruit. V'hoyu meitzin peiroseim bezmanon. And at the time where those particular fruits were supposed to give out fruits and become ripe, had they been normal fruits, the same happened to these gold fruits. And when the wind would blow them, then these fruits would actually fall from their branches. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yehi fisas bar ba'oretz b'roish horim yirash. It makes a rustle. Kalavonoin pirioi. Kalavonoin is referring to the Beis HaMikdosh and the pirioi are the fruits that would grow in the Beis HaMikdosh. So you see here, and the Gemara is teaching us that there was a tremendous miracle, and that these golden fruits, things that gold doesn't grow, nonetheless, in the Beis HaMikdosh, these fruits would grow. When the Goyim came into the Beis HaMikdosh, into the Heichal, Yavash, these fruits, or these trees, these branches, they dried out. Shnemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Uferach Levonoin, and the flowers of Levonoin, Umlol, they became devastated. That those were those flowers that Shlomo HaMelech planted them, even though they were made of gold, that they bore fruits when things were going okay. But when the Goyim came in, they just dried out. And Hashem in the future was going to bring back and rejuvenate those plants, those fruits. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, Poroyach Tifrach, that they will surely blossom, V'sogil, Af gilas, and they will rejoice with joyousness, v'ranin, and with glad song, kvoit ha'levonoin, the honor of the Beis HaMikdosh called levonoin, nitan lo, was going to be given to her. And this is referring to the poreach tifrach, that they're surely going to re-blossom those gold fruits. So you see here, this was nest number 18 that Rabbi Oshia said, and we said before there's only 10. So we've narrowed the 17 down to 10. What are we going to do with this one? Answers the Gemara, Nisa de Kvia Leika Choshev. Those Nisim that were constant, they were these plants, they were planted in the Beis HaMikdash, and they were there all the time, they were not mentioned. Says the Gemara, once you tell us regarding nest number 18, that since it was kavua, it did not need to be mentioned, that hashta de osis lachi, once you've got to this point, oroinu kruvim, that was nest number 16 and 17 that we mentioned, even though we said that the reason that they're not on the list is because they were inside the Kodesh Kadoshim and could not be seen, but even those nisim nami, nisa de kviininu, they were constant miracles, and that would be another reason why they do not interfere with our list of 10 and are not part of those 10. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, V'oshon Hamarocha. We saw nest number 12, we saw in the Gemara, that the Oshon Hamarocha, the smoke of the fireplace of in the, on the Mizbeach, afilu kol ruchis sheba'olam bo yisom enash v'yispoy, ein mezizos yisom imekoymoy, the wind would never move the column of smoke that went up from the Mizbeach. The Gemara says, "Mihava Oshon b'Marocha." Was there any smoke coming up from the fireplace with the fire on the Mizbeach? V'otanya, we learnt in the Braisa, Chamisha Dvorim Nemru B'Eish Shel Marocha. There are five things that are said about that fire on the Mizbeach. Number one, Revutza Ka'ari, that it looked like it was a lion, like a crouched lion. That's how the fire looked. Uboro Kachamo, it was clear, like the sun. V'yesh bo mamash, and that fire had substance. V'oicheles lachin ki yaveshim, it would eat, so to speak, the fire would devour soft, wet things of the animals, ki yaveshim, as well as dry ones. V'eino ma le'oshon, and it did not, there was no smoke rose up from it. And this seems to contradict what we said before, that one of the nisim was that the wind did not move the column of smoke that came up from the fire on the Mizbeach. Answers the Gemara, Kika Amrinon, this that we said that there was a column of smoke that went up and that was a nes, that the winds didn't move it, is Bidehedyot. It's talking about the part of the fire that was actually given and put there by people. D'Tanya, because we saw and we're about to see that there were two fires on the Mizbeach. About one of the fires, we just saw what Mara said, that there was no smoke. And another fire is going to be, which is the part of the fire that people put that did have smoke. D'Tanya, the Pasuk says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen, there was a mitzvah that for the sons of Aaron they should put eish ala Mizbeach. They should put fire on the Mizbeach. And they arranged the woods on the fire. So what does the Braisa say? Even though fire came down from the sky, from Shemaim, nonetheless, it's a mitzvah that people, regular people, should come, the Kohenim should put fire on the Mizbeach. So once we have two fires, one which is Yerid Min HaShemaim, and one which is Min HaHedyot, so the fire of Min HaHedyot had smoke. It was a much more natural type of fire, and therefore it had smoke, and there was a nest that the wind didn't move the smoke. The other fire, the one that came down from Shemaim, that did not make any smoke. Asks the Gemara, Revutza Kari, is it true this that we said before? One of the five things about the Eish of the Marocha is that it looked like it was crouched, like a lion? V'otani, we learnt in a Braisa, I saw that those fires, and Rashi actually says here we're talking about a coal that looked in this way, not the fire. It says a gacheles shenoflo min hashamayim. It was a coal that fell from Shemaim that had this shape. But either way, he says, you're saying that it was shaped like a lion. I saw it, revutzok a kelev, and it was actually crouched like a dog, not like a lion. Says the Gemara loikashia, it's not a contradiction. Kan b'mikdash rishon, in the first Beis HaMikdash, it looked like a lion. And kan b'mikdash sheni, and in the second Beis HaMikdash, it looked like a dog. And you can look at the Marasho. Marasho explains why the first Beis HaMikdash had this type of fire, and the second Beis HaMikdash a different type. Asks the Gemara, u'b'mikdash sheni mihavoi? In the second Beis HaMikdash, was there this special fire that came down from Shemaim, did that exist in the second base of Mikdash at all? V'homer of Shmuel bar Inya, did Shmuel bar Inya not say, Ma'i dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Alu ha-hor v'havesem eitz, uvonu ha-boyis, v'eretze, and I should be pleased, v'eretze boy, v'ikovda, and I will be honored, Omar Hashem. And what is this ikovda? Yikovda, I will be honored by what was going on in the Beis HaMikdash. But the Yikovda is written with the hay missing at the end. V'korinon v'yikovda, even though it says v'yikovda without the hay, when we read it v'yikovda with the hay. Ma'ishna, the mechusar hay. Why is the pasuk there speaking about the honor of Hashem with the letter hey missing? This is coming to teach us elu chamisha dvorim, the five things shehoyu bin migdash rishon in the migdasheni. There were five things that were present in the first Beis Hamikdash that were absent in the second Beis Hamikdash. Ve'elu hein, they are as follows. The first one is orin v'kapiras u'kruvim. The orin and the cover of the orin and the kruvim on top of the orin that they didn't have in the second Beis Hamikdash. Number two, the esh, the fire that came down that they didn't have either. Ushchina, number three is the presence of the Shechina. V'ruach HaKodesh, and similar to that was with the Ruach HaKodesh. They didn't have that in the second Beis Hamikdash. And V'urim V'tumim. And the Urim V'tumim, they didn't have in the second Beis Hamikdash either. So you see here clearly, in the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no Eish. So how could you say that when it says that there was an Eish that was crouched like a dog, was in the second Beis Hamikdash, there was no such Eish in the second Beis Hamikdash? Answers the Gemara, Omri, in. You're right. Mihava hava. There was this fire. Siu Elohim Messiah. However, this fire did not help in burning of the korbanos. It was there. That coal or that fire that was crouched like a dog was present, but it did not help in burning the korbanos. And therefore, it's considered in one of the five things that were lacking in the second Beis Hamikdash. Continues the Gemara Tonu Rabbonon. Sheish Ishois Hein. There are six different types of fires. Yesh oicheles ve'ein oishoise, and the Gemara is soon going to explain where we find these fires, what they are. But there's a type of fire that eats and doesn't drink. V'yesh shoise ve'ein oicheles. There's a type of fire that drinks but doesn't eat. V'yesh oicheles ve'shoise. There's a type of fire that eats and drinks. V'yesh oicheles lachin kiyaveshim. There's a fire that eats damp, wet things as well as dry. V'yesh eish doich eish, there's a type of fire that actually rejects other fire. V'yesh eish eicheles eish, there's a type of eish that actually burns and eats a different type of fire. That's the end of the braisa. The Gemara is going to explain. Yesh eish eicheles v'ein eishoise. What's the braisa? What's the fire that eats and doesn't drink? Hodidon. That's our fire, typical fire that we know. When you put something into the fire, fire will devour solids, will devour oichel food, but it won't drink liquid. It may make the liquids evaporate, but the fire itself doesn't burn liquids. Shoisa ve'ein eicheles. What type of fire drinks but does not eat? The choilin. It's not referring to fire. It's talking about temperature. When a sick person gets very hot and has temperature, then he feels like drinking a lot. He doesn't feel like eating. Oicheles v'shoisa. Where do we find the fire that not only does it eat, the fire also drinks? The Elio. This was the fire of Elio Anovi. The Chassid, it says in the pasuk in Melachim, v'tipol eish Hashem v'toichal es oilo v'es oitzim v'es avonim v'es ofor v'es hamayim asher betolo l'cheicho. That the fire that came down by Elio Anovi, not only did it burn the korbanos and whatever else was on the mizbeach, but it burnt up the water. In the trench, it drank up. And so you see there that there's a type of fire which is oicheles v'shoisa. There's another type of fire, oicheles lachin kiyaveshim demarocha. That's the fire on the mizbeach that would eat the korbanos, irrespective of whether they were dry or wet. They would eat the korbanos. That's the lachin kiyaveshim. Yesh eish doich eish. There's a concept of fire that rejects that other fire. What is that? The Gavriel, that was the Malach Gavriel, who himself was fire. When he went down into the furnace where Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah had been thrown into, he actually rejected and pushed away the heat of the furnace, the fire of the furnace, in order to save Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, something we learned about in Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Ches. And finally, v'yesh eish eicheles eish, there's a type of fire that eats up and devours another type of fire, the Shechina. This is the Shechina, which is also compared to a fire, and the fire of the Shechina actually burns up the fire of the Melochim. The Omar Mar, because we saw it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Hoishut Etzboi B'neim, over there when the Melochim of fire, they were complaining about the way Hashem created man, Hashem, so to speak, extended his finger between them, the Sorophon, and burnt them up. Continues the Gemara. We saw in Nes miracle number 12 that was mentioned before, the Va'oshon HaMarocha, that the smoke that went up from the Mizbeach, afilu kol arucha is sheba'olam ein mazizus oisei mimekoimoi, that no winds in the world would be able to move it from its place, it would rise up as if there were no winds. Ask the Gemara v'omer of Yitzchok bar Avdimi, b'motzi yom tov achrin shel chag, on the motzi, on the final day, on the end of Sukkos, and we know that Sukkos was a time where we were judged for how much water we were going to get the following year. And the amount of water we get is very influential as to the success of the year. How the fruits are going to come. Are there going to be too much rain? And then the crops are going to be too moist and they're going to become foul and moldy quicker. Are they going to be very, very dry and the crops are not going to be very good? Is there going to be an average amount of rain? And is there going to be more or less? All these things are determined on Sukkos. So on Motzei Sukkos, says the Gemara, Hakol Tzofin, they would all gaze, La'oshon HaMarocha, they would watch the Oshon HaMarocha, the smoke that was raising up from the top of the Mizbeach, and they would see what way the smoke would be leaning and turning to. If it was turning to the Tzofin, to north, they knew there was a southern wind that was dominant, and they knew that that year there was going to be the rain that is appropriate for a southern wind. If they saw that the smoke of the Marocha was heading towards Dorim, to the south, they knew it was a northern wind, and the same in all four directions. And they would understand from the direction that the smoke on top of the Marocha was moving, they knew what type of year was ahead of them. And that's going to be the question. How can you say that the winds would not move the smoke of the Marocha? Here we see on Motzei Yom Tov, they would all gaze at the smoke to see what direction it was leaning. And the Gemara is going to answer it. But before the Gemara answers it, let's see what the Gemara says about the different directions of the winds and how it affected them. Noita klapet tzofin. If the smoke was turning towards the tzofin, the north, which means that there was a southern wind that was dominant, then they knew there was going to be a very lot of rain. And the aniyim smeichim, the poor people, they were very happy because they knew that the produce would be very well saturated and there would be lots of liquid, and therefore they would spoil quicker, and there would be a lot of produce that would have to be sold in a short amount of time, and the prices would stay very low, and the poor people would be able to afford the produce, the fruits. Ubalabatim, however, the people, the balabatim, the richer people, those who were selling the produce, then atzevim, they were sad because they would, the fruits and the produce would not last for very long, the prices would stay low, and there would be a loss for them. So that's what happened when the winds came from the Dorim and the smoke actually moved towards the Tzofin. Mipnei shegishmei shana merubim, the rains that year would be much, uperasei marakivim, and the fruits would rot, and therefore they would have to be sold quickly for a cheap price. Noto klapit Dorim, when the smoke leaned towards the south, which means there was a northerly wind, and if there's a northerly wind, it means there's going to be much less rain. Aniyim atzevim, here the poor people, they were very upset because since there was not so much water saturated in the growth, in the plantation, therefore the owners, they could keep them for a longer amount of time and they could wait until the prices would go up. So the poor people, they were upset. Ubalabatim smeichim, but the people who were selling the fruits and the produce, they were happy because they would be able to sell the produce for a lot of money. They would be able to save it and sell it for a lot of money. Mipnei shegishmei shana mu'otim, there would be a little bit of rain that year, or perasei meshtamrim, and their fruits would stay safe. They would be able to save them in the warehouses and be able to charge more for them. Not a klap in Mizrach. If the Marocha, the smoke, was leaning towards the Mizrach, towards the east, which means there was a western wind. A western wind means that there was just an average amount of water. Hakol Smeichim, everybody's happy. The owners are happy because they would have that little bit more time to sell the fruits, and the poor people were happy because they would not be too expensive. Klape Mariv, if, however, the smoke of the Marocha was leaning towards the Mariv, towards the west, which means there was an eastern wind, then Hakel Atzevim, then that means there was going to be almost no rain whatsoever, and everybody's upset. Even the poor people are upset because the fruits are not going to be good, and there's going to be a drought, and there's going to be a lack of food, a hunger, and the not good foods are going to be very expensive. So everybody's upset. So that was the question of the Gemara. You see here that on Matzah Yom Tov of Sukkos, the smoke on the Marocha would move. But you said before there was a nest that no winds could move the smoke of the Marocha. Answers the Gemara, you're right. What it actually means is the ozil v'osi kedikli, that the smoke would raise up like a palm tree, straight up, and it would move a little bit, like a palm tree would move a little bit. If dure lo have a mivdar, however, the wind would make it move a little bit, but it would and make it lean, so to speak, but it would not scatter it, and it would not, the smoke would not disperse due to the winds, and that was the miracle. But the wind, the column of smoke, would be moved slightly by the wind. Continues the Gemara, Omar Mar, we just saw now that klape mizrach, when you have the smoke of Marocha is leaning towards the mizrach, towards the east, which means there was a western wind, hakel smechem, everybody's happy because there's an average amount of water, and klape mayriv, hakel latzevim. But when you've got a west, when it's leaning towards the west, which means you've got an eastern wind, hakel latzevim, there's going to be almost no rain, and everybody is sad. Uruminu, this seems to contradict another brisa. Another brisa, it says, Mizrochis, when you have an eastern wind, which is what we called before klape mayriv, that is a Mizrochis wind, la'olam yofe, everybody's happy. Marovis, but when you have a marovis, a wind coming from the mayriv, from the west, which means klape mizrach is what we called before, the smoke of the marocha is leaning towards the east, la'olam kosher, it's always difficult, it's bad, contrary to what we said before, that klape mizrach hakol smeichin. The Gemara is soon going to answer that. But the Braisa carries on, Ruach Tzfoinis, when you have a Tzfoinis, which is what we called before, Klapei Dorim, Yofe Lechitim, it's good, because this is what we said before, that if you have a Tzfoin wind, which is what we said before, is Klapei Dorim, we said there's going to be less rain, and therefore Aniyim Matzevim, Ubalabatim Smeichim. So that conforms there's no contradiction. That's what it says here. It's Yofe Lechitim, that the wheat, b'shar she'viu shlish, when they've already grown a third, they're already a third mature, it's okay, because at that point, the wheat does not need so much rain anymore. So it's okay, the wheat will survive. V'kosher l'zeisim, b'zman she'im chintin. But the olives, which are still in a blossom stage, and they need a lot of rain, it's going to be very bad for those blossoms, for those olives, it's going to be bad for them if you have a Ruach Tzfoinis, because the Ruach Tzfoinis means there's not going to be very much rain. Ruach Deroimis, when you have a southern wind, which is what we said before, Klape Tzofoin, there we said before that Klape Tzofoin, everybody is happy because there's going to be a lot of rain. So if there's a lot of rain, it's Kosher Lechitin. It's not good for the wheat, because too much rain will spoil the wheat. B'shar she'viu shlish, providing they've already matured a third. V'yofel ezesim. But those olives, b'zman she'en choytim, that they are in blossom stage, they need a lot of rain. So for the olives, it's very good. V'omer of Yosef, v'teimim razutra, of Yosef, or of Zutra said, you want to remember which is the Dorim wind, or the Tzofin wind, which one is good for the wheat, which one is good for the olives. The olives need the rain, the wheat, it's better for there to be less rain. How are you going to remember that? Very straightforward. The simon is shulchan betzofin. Inside the heichal, we know there was the shulchan with the lechem aponim. The lechem aponim was made with wheat. On the dorim side, there was the menorah. They would light the menorah with oil, made of olives. So he says the simon will be shulchan betzofin u'menorah bedorim. That since the Shulchan stands on the north and the Menorah stands on the south, hi, the Ruach Tzfoinis Marbedidei. It's good, it's healthy for the wheat, which is on its side, because the Ruach Tzfoinis means there's going to be less rain and the wheat will not get ruined. V'hai, but the Dorim, the northern wind, sorry, the southern wind, sorry, which is the Dorim, is Marbedidei, is beneficial for the oil, for the olives, which are needed in the menorah, which is standing on the dorim. But either way, we had here a question. There seemed to be a contradiction whether mizrach hakol smeichin or mayriv hakol atzevin, or on the contrary. Answers the Gemara, loikasha. Everybody agrees that that when you have the Mizrach wind, there's going to be a lot of rain. And Mairav, there's not going to be a lot of rain. Holon, holohu. In Bovel, having a lot of rain, Bovel was a place that was low down, and it was always saturated with water, and therefore a lot of rain in Bovel was not good for anyone. Holohu, but in Eretz Yisrael, it's the other way around. Having a lot of rain was very necessary, because Eretz Yisrael has a lot of mountains and hills. It does not saturate, it doesn't absorb the water so much. So in Eretz Yisrael, an extra dose of water is actually a positive and not negative. So when we saw before that the extra rain is negative, that's only in Bovel. When we saw that the extra rain is a positive sign, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Hadron aloch shivas yomim b'siyata deshmai. We finished learning the first perek in Yuma. Shivas yomim im yiritz Hashem. We're going to do chazor on this perek, and in the next year we're going to start the next perek Borishoino.